4. I want to talk to you this morning about living above sea level, and that C is S-E-E. That is learning to live by faith or seeing the invisible. We often hear the motto, what you see is what you get. But that's just according to the five senses. And that is not completely true, because there is an unseen world that is just as real as the world, physical world that is around us. Now, the Apostle Paul is going through affliction, and you and I would call it deep affliction, but he calls it light affliction. I want you to look at verses 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So we notice he's concentrating on the lightness of his present affliction with the weighty glory that one day awaits him. And then he's going to contrast that which can be seen with that which cannot be seen in verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal, or transitional. So he says, we're looking at things which are not seen. Sounds like double talk, but if you stay tuned this morning, you'll understand it's not. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon your word today. Lord, that you would help us to live by faith, and we would be aware of the spiritual world that is taking place around us, that we might tap into that spiritual world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First of all, I want to talk to you this morning about the reality of the unseen world. The Bible teaches that there is a visible world and there's an invisible spiritual world, and these two coexist side by side. It would be very foolish to deny there is an unseen spiritual world just because we cannot see it with our physical eyes. It would be foolish for a blind man to deny a sunset or a sunrise simply because he couldn't see it with his physical eyes. If we were to take a generation, two generations, three generations back, and we would bring them into our world today and tell them that in this building right now, there's all kinds of music. There's all kinds of sounds, and there's visuals. He would look around and he would say, that's not true. I don't see it. You're telling me a lie. But if we could bring a television set in here this morning and put an antenna on it, we could connect with things that we can't see here in the physical realm, and we would see things and we would hear things that we cannot do without that help. And I want you to, that is a beautiful illustration, I believe, of the spiritual world. And it's only as we have our antennas up and we connect to JESUS, station JESUS, as we connect to Jesus, we have an insight into this spiritual world. Some things about the reality of this unseen world. The invisible world was here first. Do you realize that? Let me show you what I'm talking about. In Hebrews chapter 11, here's what the Apostle Paul says, beginning with verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the evidence that there is an unseen world. For by it, that is by faith, the elders obtained a good report. Would you like to get an A on your report card? Well, pay attention this morning, because it says, through faith we understand that the worlds, that is the universe, were made, were framed, brought into being by the word of God. That is, that God spoke and God brought into creation something out of nothing, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Moffat translates it this way, the visible is made out of the invisible. I like that. The visible, it was made out of things that are invisible. Things that are seen were first made by things that cannot be seen. That is, the invisible was before the visible. Before there was anything that you could touch, taste, hear, smell, there was the invisible Spirit of God and the Word of God that brought these things into existence. The invisible was here before the visible. A group of scientists, you might have heard this story, a group of scientists got together and decided that man had come a long way and man no longer needed God. So they picked one scientist to go and tell him, God, we're done with you. The scientist walked up to God and said, God, we've decided that we no longer need you. We're getting to the point where we can clone people and we can do many miraculous things. So why don't you just go on and get lost? God listened patiently and kindly to the man. And after the scientist was done talking, God said, very well, how about this? Let's have a man-making contest. To which the man replied, okay, great. But God added, now we're going to do it like I did back in the old days with Adam. The scientist said, sure, no problem, and bent down and grabbed himself a handful of dirt. God looked at him and said, no, you get your own dirt. It'd be like a man whose father was a master builder and had built an incredible, beautiful, stately mansion. When his father was away, this man took his father's tools and his building materials and his plans, and he studied them very carefully, and he took his father's model, and after looking it over very carefully, taking his father's tools and plans and models, he makes this little chicken coop. And then he steps back and looks at that chicken coop and says, you see, that proves my point. My father doesn't exist. Well, just because they can create something today out of the materials that God made doesn't mean that God doesn't exist. Isn't that crazy to even think that way? The truth of the matter is, we stick out our chest sometimes today and say, God, we don't need you anymore. But I'll tell you, we need God more than we've ever needed him. We need God like never before. And God is the only one who has ever made something out of nothing. Something out of nothing. So the invisible world was here first. Again, let me read that scripture to you. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. He just spoke it into existence. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. That is, the invisible is made out of the invisible. Not only was the invisible world here first, but the invisible world will be here last. It's going to outlast the visible world. As a matter of fact, 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are what? Temporal. They're only temporary. This pulpit is temporary. This platform is temporary. Those pews that you are sitting on, as comfortable as they are today, they're only temporary. Someday they will pass away. Everything around you is changing. It's winding down. It's decaying. It's dying. It's temporary. And the more real things, though, are those things that are eternal and cannot pass away and are not in the process of decay, but will be in existence for all of eternity. What I'm trying to say is that the things that are not seen are eternal. The things that you can see, everything that you can see today is temporary, but that which you cannot see is eternal. And the unseen world is more real than the seen world because the unseen world was here first and the unseen world will still be here when the seen world is gone. And if you're living for things that you can only see, at best they're temporary, and in the end it's going to be a big disappointment. Now, we've talked about the reality of the unseen world. How do we know it's there? Okay? How do we know that it's here? Well, because God himself said so, and it would be foolish to deny it. And so we're going to look at, secondly, the resources of the unseen world. What good does it do for us to know the reality of the unseen world? What good does it do to tap into these resources? Well, one of the things that it's good for is that it's good to know when you're going through trouble. It's good to know that there is an unseen world when you're going through times of trouble. And we all go through times of trouble. If you're not, hang on. There will be some trouble with your name on it. We are not immune. As a matter of fact, let's go, we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's go all the way back to verse 3 and look at it for a moment. I'm going to read an extended passage, so I want you to listen carefully. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Now, lost people cannot understand spiritual things because they don't have their spiritual antenna up. They're not in tune with the station JESUS. And so they don't understand. In whom the God of this world, and notice that God is spelled with a small g, this is Satan. It's the God of this world, not Almighty God. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now these people are blind, right? They're blind, not physically, but they are blind spiritually. Who has blinded them? The God of this world. Satan has blinded them. He has blinded the minds of them which believe not, which don't believe. Why does Satan do this? Because he doesn't want the light of the glorious gospel to shine on them, the gospel of Jesus Christ, who is the image of God. He doesn't want that light to shine unto them so they could be saved. So the Apostle Paul says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Well, if you preach Jesus, then you're not going to have any problems, right? Well, he goes on to say, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure," that is the glory of God. "We have the glory of God in earthen vessels, in clay pots, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." See, we're like this clay pot, every single one of us. And the only thing that really makes it worthwhile is Jesus Christ inside of you. But here's what happens when trouble comes. When trouble comes, it breaks us. Like the clay pot, when the clay pot is broken, inside the clay pot can be seen. And if Christ is in you, and when you are broken, that means that Jesus can be seen. The light of Jesus can be seen. I like the story with Gideon and as he goes out to face the Midianites. You know, and God tells him, "Take a weapon." "What kind of weapon do you want me to take, God?" "I want you to take a clay pot." "Wow, that's kind of a crazy. What are we going to do? We're going to beat these clay pots and we're going to kill them with sound?" No, God says, "I want you to take the clay pots and I want you to fill it with light and I want you to break it. I want you to break the clay pot." And as they went out to war, that's what they did. Strange way to go to war, I know. But that's the way it is with us, the clay pot, with Jesus, the light of the world inside of us. And when we are broken, the world sees us. They see the light of Christ, more importantly, in us. And so sometimes God allows us to go through difficult times. He allows us to be broken so that the ungodly in this world, those that don't know Christ, can see Christ in us. But it's great to know that there's an unseen world there, right? It's great to know that Jesus can be seen through my life. And what Paul is saying, he's saying it's not me that they're after. I simply have Jesus inside of this clay pot. And the reason they keep striking the pot, the reason they keep striking this earthen vessel is because there's a treasure. There's a treasure in this earthen vessel. And so they're really after Christ. And he says, when I endure these blows, I only endure the blows for Jesus, who took those tremendous blows and stripes for me. And he says, I bear about in my body the dying of the Lord Jesus, because he died for me. And when I react with love, and when I react with wisdom, and when I react with courage and gentleness, what do they see? They see the clay pot is broken, and they see Jesus Christ living in me. They see Jesus Christ shining out of me. They see the treasure when the vessel is broken. And so he says, always bearing about in my body, always bearing about in my body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in my body. See, people will see Jesus in you. People will see Jesus in me when I react the right way when I'm in trouble. If I can be Christ-like, then they will see Jesus. If I can just simply act like a Christian ought to act, when there's trouble, when there's heartache, when there's sorrow, people will see Jesus. And then notice what he says in verse 11, for which we live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. And what is he saying? He's saying the more I let death work in me, the more the realities of the unseen world can be seen by those around us. The more of the Lord radiates out of me. And he goes on to say, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and present us with you. Even if they kill me, I know that the God who raised up Jesus is going to raise me up also, and he's going to raise you up, and together we're going to meet the Lord. So he goes on to say why he suffers. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, or don't quit, don't give up. But though our outward man perish, though they beat on the clay pot, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Paul, how do you do this? That's what I would wonder. Paul, what really makes you tick? What allows you to handle this kind of suffering? And he tells us in verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Here it is. This is why we need to see the invisible, church. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. When you get into trouble, especially when you get into trouble for serving the Lord, for standing up for Jesus, you'd better look into another world. You better fix your eyes upon that which cannot be seen. Because when God does this, when God allows this, when God brings you through this, he gives you supernatural strength. Paul was perplexed. He didn't understand it. He said later on, we're perplexed, we're distressed. It really didn't make sense. But just because it didn't make sense to him at that moment didn't mean that it won't make sense to him later on. I was thinking, as Dan was teaching Sunday school this morning, I was thinking of an old saying we used to say, obey now, understand why later. And that often is the case. Just because it doesn't make sense to us now doesn't mean it won't make sense later on. That's what Paul says. I don't understand it, but I don't need to. I look at the things which are not seen. And the Greek word there literally means I fix my gaze upon, or to look steadfastly into that which other people cannot see. Corrie ten Boom, she said, look around and you'll be distressed. Look within and you'll be depressed. Look at Jesus and you'll be at rest. And that's what the Apostle Paul was doing here. In times of trouble, we need to see an unseen world. Secondly, it's good to know when you're afraid. It's good to know when you're in trouble, but it's also good to know when you're afraid. In 2 Kings chapter 6, we actually talked about this story last week. As Elisha, this man of God, this prophet of God, has a servant who is afraid. He's afraid because there's trouble. In 2 Kings chapter 6 and beginning with verse 8, then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not to such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place where the man of God told him and warned of him, and saved himself there, not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? In other words, he gets his cabinet together and he says, guys, we've got a leak. Somebody is spreading all of our plans to the king of Israel. We got a traitor in our midst. I want to know which one of you it is. There's a spy somewhere in the camp. He didn't know that it was the prophet of Elisha, that God was telling him everything that the king of Syria planned to do. And his men told him, Elisha knows everything that you talk about, even in your secret chambers. Now you talk about a leak. Here's one, because Elisha has his antenna where? He's got it plugged into heaven. He's got it plugged into God. And we're going to experience this unseen world in just a bit. And so king of Syria said, go and spy where he is that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore he sent thither horses and chariots and a great host. Here's a great army against one preacher. One preacher and one servant that he has. He sends out this great army. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, master, what shall we do? Plain English, we're in a mess. What are we going to do? And he answered, I want you to underscore this. Fear not. Fear not. Now somebody has said, again, I haven't really checked this out, but I've heard it over and over again, that the term fear not, or its equivalent, is mentioned 365 times in the Bible. One time for every day of the year. I don't know if it's totally true or not, but there's a lot. There's a lot of fear nots. God obviously does not want us to have a spirit of fear. And so don't be afraid. Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. Now, he's a young man. He's not wearing glasses yet. And the older man prays, God, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, not his physical eyes, but his spiritual eyes. And he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. You know what you need to do when you're afraid? You need to ask God to show you the spiritual world. You need to remind God that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You need to be reminded that God said he would never leave you nor forsake you. You know what you do? You remind yourself that God has an army of angels, the host of heaven. And the scripture says the angel of the Lord encamps around about those that fear him and delivers him. You need to remind yourself that the scripture says the chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. That's great. Thousands of angels. But it's even greater that the Lord is among them. Right? God is among them. So we do not have to fear. So many times, we're in danger. We don't even know it. So many times, God may send an angel to escort us, to pick us up, to take us, to take care of us. We serve a good God, church. God is a good God, and He protects His own. If we could only see into the spiritual world as the Apostle Paul could, then when we're in times of trouble, we would not fear, and we would learn that the eternal is more powerful than the temporary. If we in times of fear and persecution could say, Lord, open my eyes to see the angels that are encamped round about me, that are protecting me, and that nothing can get to me without going through your protection first. And then if God does allow something, we realize that it's for our good and for His glory. But again, we do not need to be afraid. It's good to know the spiritual world. It's good to know the unseen world. It's a great thing to know its reality when we're going through trouble. It's a great thing to know the reality of it when we're afraid. It's a great thing to know the reality of it when we are being tempted and we are being tested. Now, Hebrews 11:1. Remember that verse? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I want you to look later on in that chapter. In verse 24, it says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, you didn't realize Moses could have stayed in the palace. He could have had tremendous wealth. He could have lived a life of luxury. He could have dabbed in every sinful pleasure the world would offer. He could have been the king of the most powerful nation on the face of the earth. But he refused. The Bible says he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, for a temporary time, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Or rather, he looked at the bottom line. He looked to the conclusion of the whole matter. And he said, it says in verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Now here's the verse I wanted to get to. Here's the buildup right to this. For he endured as seeing him who is what? Invisible. Why did he endure? He saw him who was invisible. One more time, when you are in trouble, you need to see the invisible. When you are afraid, you need to see the invisible. When you are facing temptation, you need to see the invisible. That's the thing that will keep you going. That's the thing that allow you to live above sea level. Now the reception of the power of the unseen world. How do we recognize the power of this world? How can we tap into the power of the unseen world? First of all, we have to realize that there are three great enemies to our faith. Three great enemies that will keep us from seeing the unseen world. The first one is appearance, what we see. Everybody say Hebrews 11:1 with me. Would you do this? The faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What is hope? Let me give you a definition of hope this morning. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope means anticipation that is joined with assurance. Hope in the Bible is not our definition of hope. Hope, we hope so. It might happen. But in the Bible, hope is joined with faith, and it is assurance. Anticipation that is joined with assurance. Faith, then, is the evidence of anticipation that is joined with assurance. And it's coupled with joy. Now, sometimes when I was, as a child, I anticipated a spanking, but I didn't look forward to it with joy. But the Christian can have joy coupled with anticipation because of God's divine promises. So faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, and faith then is the substance or that which is real, things that make it, that substantiate it. Now, many times we want to see something that we can see with our physical eyes. We want to see something that we can touch, that we can feel. Remember, Thomas doubted the resurrection of Jesus. His faith failed to go above sea level, S-E-E level, because he said, unless I can see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Now here's a man who was hindered by the desire to see. Appearances are often a hindrance to faith. Simon Peter learned that we're not to live this way. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, speaking of Jesus, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You might, Pastor, have you seen Jesus? No, I have not seen him. But even though I have not seen him, I still love him. And even though I have not seen him physically, I still believe in him. Sometimes we just believe what our senses tell us, rather than letting faith be the evidence of things not seen and things hoped for. The second hindrance that we have, not only appearance, what we see, but sometimes emotion, what we feel. Have you ever tried to pray and sometimes your prayers didn't seem all that juicy? They just seemed really dry. And you wondered if your prayers were even getting above the ceiling. Sometimes praying just seems to be a meaningless exercise. Don't let your emotions keep you from doing that which is right. Don't let your emotions keep you from praying just because you might not feel like praying. You need to do it anyway. And let me tell you, God does his deepest work in your spirit, not in your emotions. Your emotions are the shallowest part of you. God would not do his deepest work in the shallowest part. And then the third hindrance, sometimes to faith, and seeing the unseen world is reason. What we think. If we can't understand it, then we don't want to believe it. Here's Philip. Jesus has got a multitude of people that are listening to him teach. Jesus said, we got to feed these people. Let's feed them. Philip said, it would take a year's wages, a year's labor, the wages of a laboring man for a year to feed all this people. Reason. Jesus, I cannot reason how we could possibly do this. we really need to send them away. But Jesus said, no, don't send them away. You give them to eat. Don't let your heart, don't let your mind be limited by logic. I'm not saying that we don't use logic. I like to be logical. I like people who use logic. But faith sometimes is contrary to reason. You know why it's contrary to reason? Because it goes beyond reason. It goes beyond reason. And if all we're doing is calculating and trying to figure things out, we're not living by faith. We're not trusting in the Lord. My desire is that you live above sea level. Live above the level that you can just see with the physical. But that you could then see the invisible. And you could know the unknowable. Who is truly knowable? Our Lord Jesus Christ. How can this be? Well, when we look with eyes of faith, then we will be able to go beyond that which is humanly possible. Jesus looked upon the people that had gathered to hear him teach that day, and he said, with men, it is impossible. And there may be things in your life, with you, with men, it's impossible. But don't stop there. Don't you say, oh, this is impossible. Give up. With God, for with God, all things are possible. And maybe you're here today and you're limited and you're going through a situation that you cannot see beyond the things that your five senses reveal to you. I'm challenging you today to put your faith into practice and say, I believe in the unseen world. I believe in an invisible world. And even though I cannot see Christ today, I love him, I believe him, and I trust him. And I believe that with him, this situation or any other situation is possible. Only possible through Christ. It's possible through God. Would you today say, Lord, I believe that there's an unseen world. I believe that there's a spiritual world. And what I'm going to do is by faith, I'm going to stick up my spiritual antenna. And I'm going to plug into the station JESUS. And I want you to reveal that world to me. I want you to reveal the reality of that unseen world. And help me to understand today that whatever I'm going through, whatever challenge I have, it's only temporary. It will pass. But the things that I cannot see, the things that I really want to tune into, those things that I can't see, that's what's really important. Those things are eternal. And those things will be here long after these temporary things have passed away. Maybe you're here today and you need to plug into that unseen world. God wants to show you what's going on. And I really believe that in answer to faith, God will move heaven and earth. He'll send his angels. He'll bring his presence to make that reality known. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? Before you tap into this power, I just want you to think, is there a hindrance to me seeing this unseen world today? Am I being limited by what I can see? Do I dictate my life by only that which I can see? Or am I limited by what I feel? And I let my feelings dictate my situations. Or am I limited by reason, what I think? I let my thoughts, and only my thoughts, my reasoning and only my reasoning dictate my situation and the way that I live. If that's the case, you need to tell God this morning. That these enemies of faith need to go. And ask God to help you defeat these enemies of faith so that the power of the unseen world could be opened up to you. And maybe you've got trouble, maybe you've got fear, maybe you've got temptation. Or maybe you just want to start operating in the power of the unseen world. And you can tell God that too. So with your heads bowed and your eyes closed and you're tuned in to JESUS, how many of you today would say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I want to tune in to the power of the unseen world. And I don't want to be limited by appearance, emotion, or reason. I want to defeat the enemies of what I can see, what I can feel, and what I can think. And I want to live, and I want to receive the power of the unseen world into my life. Could you raise your hand up to God, just up and then down? Amen. Mine's up. God bless you. God bless you. Father, we pray today. You know where each person is. And Lord, you know our struggles with the things that we can see and the things that we can't see, and our struggles with the temporary and the weight of that compared to the eternal. You know where each person is. But I believe that there are many here today, as evidenced by a raised hand, that they want to move beyond where they are and what they can see to what they can't see. And they want to move beyond the temporary to the eternal in significant areas of their life. And I pray, Lord, that you would help them to do that. I pray, Lord, that as we run into these situations in life where we're tempted to just live in the temporary, in the seen, Lord, prompt us to turn our antennas to Jesus and get in touch with him. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.